If I was to call you a nobody, would you agree that that's what you are? Or would you disagree? And on what grounds? You might say, well, I'm a child of God. That makes me somebody. I would agree with that. But being made somebody as a child of God isn't your own doing. So on your own doing, how do you rate? In our society, right now it's a mess. We are all about making sure we're rated. That we, each individual, is somebody. Somehow, some way, in some shape or form, that we define ourselves as, and I'll just use the word significant. I watched it as the official director of a preschool at a church I served, and we had a three-year-old program for three-year-olds and a program for four-year-olds, my bad habit was coming to stir up the kids and leaving, and the teacher had to deal with it, being the instigator that I am. But anyway, the kids, you know, it took almost the full school year before they understood this idea that they couldn't always be first. Because all of them wanted to be first. They wanted to be first to the water fountain. They wanted to be first to get the craft. They wanted to be first to pick which book was going to be read by the teacher. They wanted to be first. And it made no difference of what birth order they were in, or how mom and dad spoiled them rotten or ignored them, because we saw everything in between. And so they just wanted to be first. And in our world today, a lot of people like the titles. They don't always like doing the work, but they certainly like the titles. They like, in the sense of the title as growing up an army brat, as military rank, you know. It commanded respect. We like to be considered as something. I saw this again when, after Wilma had told us that she was going to retire and we needed a new secretary, I used one of the online job application websites, and I think I announced we got 128 applicants. And I had posted, 7 years experience in the office, education and things like that. And it was amazing. I thought it was amazing. Maybe I was just naive. How many people thought that if they were the coordinator for the hostesses at the restaurant, that was office experience? How do we see ourselves? Goes counter to what tonight is about. In tonight's readings, you had, besides God, you had two human main individuals. One is David, we know him as King David, and the other one is Mary, the mother of Christ. Now, on this side of, after all the New Testament is written and all the years the Christian church has been established and everything else like that, we don't think of those two people as nobodies, do we? But did you know the Bible does? In the lesson from Samuel, the point was that God is telling David through a prophet that you didn't make you. That it's God that takes him out of the muck of sheep work. Of working among sheep, living with the sheep, taking care of the sheep. You smell like sheep. that God takes a young man like that, David, out of being a shepherd, away from the muck, the mire, the smell, and all the dirt thereof, and he establishes him as king. That God took a nobody. David was not a descendant of a bunch of kings. You know, if you watch British history programs, do you know how many kings they've had? Wow. And then, you know, if the king didn't have a son, you know, then somebody else, another family got to take the throne. And sometimes the throne was just taken. But they had all these sons and a few queens and daughters in there. But the royal lineage is just, it's too much for me to keep track of. David had none of that. His father wasn't significant. He was the youngest of the boys. He was a nobody. Mary wasn't in the family lineage of a bunch of kings and queens in the Holy Land. She was a young teenage female that was about to marry Joseph, whom we imagine was quite a bit older than her. That was the way things were done then. And Joseph wasn't a mover and shaker and the cornerstone of the community. The town was not named Josephville. You know, he wasn't that great. And Mary was just a young thing, a nobody, inexperienced in many ways. And she even tells the angel Gabriel, "How can this be?" Meaning, "I have nothing to offer. I don't bring anything into this." And Gabriel tells her how it was going to be, that God was going to take nothing and make something. And the prophet told David that it was God who took nobody and made him great. Now, David didn't like that paradigm. There's a point in his success and his leadership and all, he's kind of looking at, hey, this is nice. I've got a palace, you know, I've got my lazy boy recliner here, you know, I really have it good. I've got all the servants I need and more, you know, they're waiting in line, and this is really nice. And then he thinks about, what has God got? God is a tent. That's where God was making his presence known, was in the tent. The temple of Jerusalem had not been built yet. In fact, God even told David, you can't be the one to do that. It will be your son. But David's thinking, I, who am the great king, should build a great temple for a great God. And God reminds him and puts him in his place. You're not that great of yourself. It is God who has made you great. But I can do this. No, you can't. You have blood on your hands. Solomon will build the temple. And your name will be great, and from generation to generation. But it's because God has made it so. And Mary thinks, how can this be? And again, it is God who takes someone unknown, insignificant, a nobody, loved by Joseph. But as far as on a world scale, not bigger than a dot in a blink of history. And here she becomes the mother of God. God in the flesh, Emmanuel. The king comes. And what he does is he leaves the grandeur and the majesty and all authority. He leaves that to become conceived and born of Mary, and to live in a world tainted with sin and corruption and violence and selfishness. And there this king comes. And what he does is he humbles himself and he makes himself low. And in some ways, during his ministry, he shows that he makes himself lower than us. When he bends down in the upper room and washes the disciples' feet, and Peter says, "Not my feet, no, no, not my stinky feet, don't get near my feet." Peter thinks he might be worthy to have Jesus wash his head. But Jesus says, "No. Basically, I wash your feet, the lowest or nothing." And when he's on trial, you know, Pilate says, "Who are you?" And, you know, and all this. Pilate thinks he has power. And Jesus has to tell him, "The only power and authority you have is that which God gives you. Because if God wanted to, he would send legions and basically wipe you out." It took more power and strength to stay on the cross than it would to come off the cross. It took greater love to leave heaven to be born of Mary than it would be to stay in heaven and just love us from afar, going, "Hi." It took greater grace and mercy for Jesus to come down, to become man, and to serve us rather than to be served. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes to earth to be made low, and in that we are raised up. We are lifted up. With our new life in Christ, we're called brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called the children of the Most High God. All of a sudden, we get promoted. We get elevated. We get lifted up out of despair and hopelessness and worthless, and we are declared something, not because of who we think we are, but because of what God says. Our challenge, and it's a great time to think about it and admit, our challenge is that sometimes we're so full of ourselves that we have no room for the King of Kings. But when we realize that under the law, we're guilty, that according to the law, it should have been us who are crucified, when we realize that according to God's perfection, we are the purest, biggest opposite of that that can exist. We stink. And when we confess our sins, because that's what Advent is about, it's a call to repent. It's a call for us to say, "Yeah, God, I'm one of the nobodies, unworthy, undeserving of a Savior to come, to be born, to rescue me. I cannot save myself, but I am not worth saving of my own." But then God turns that around and he declares us of value by sending his son. We get lifted up not because we become somebody, but because God has made us his own. We get lifted up not by our own accomplishments or achievements, our successes, or our image, or our style. We get lifted up because we are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are covered in his righteousness. To God's view, that makes us something. He makes us something out of nothing. David comes to realize this. He doesn't always hold on to this. David was not a great parent. David was not a faithful man of God when he was lusting after Bathsheba. David was not an honorable man when he had her husband killed. David knows, and the Psalm, like 32, reflects, you know, I'm a sinner, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Mary knows she's nothing, but she also believes that it's the power of God that changes everything. And you and I, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we too come to grips that Jesus is the King of the low. You know some of my stories, and I know some of yours, but I know all of mine, you know. And so in the Bible, when Paul talks about being chief of sinners, you remember that part in Scripture? See, to me, I have him beat, because I know more about me than I do about Paul. And we come to realize that in our confession, we are the lowest of the low. But Jesus is our King, the King of the lowly, who do not remain lowly because of all that he does for us. The call to repentance is genuine and true and needs to be heard often. The call to humble ourselves before the Lord is genuine and true and needs to be followed and practiced often. And in our lowest moments, in our despair, our agony, our depression, our frustration, in all of that, so true is the call and the power of the gospel that we have a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, a victory over sin, a victory over death, a victory over the devil. And in Christ we live. And our King rules over all who are lifted. In Jesus' name, amen.